Okay. Hey, yes. Oh, yes. We're back. Yes. So the message today is about switching from worry. And 5 minutes before we were to go live, my microphone popped off, and I tried to fix it, which meant I broke it. So that's why we saw Russ getting very close with me. That wasn't a moment of prayer. That was a moment of trying to put into practice the instructions to not worry about anything. So thank you so much for being here. Everybody in the room, hello. Everybody in the room, welcome. Hello. And everybody who is joining us online, either via the live stream and participating in the chat, or who is catching up with us later, I just encourage you to make this more than something that you're doing alone. If you're listening to the podcast or you're watching online, when Paul wrote his letters, he wrote them like this letter to the Philippians. Any of the letters that he wrote that end in A-N-S, Philippians, Corinthians, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, he wrote to gatherings of people, a group. So this is not meant to be a personal, individualized teaching. This is for everybody together to discuss and to work on together. So I encourage you, have a conversation with somebody about what's happening in your heart and mind as you listen to God's word. We're almost done with our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Tuesday, we're having a gathering right here in this room, and there will be pizza. To celebrate and to break your fast. We had a really good gathering on Tuesday where people opened up and prayed for each other. And then we had an ongoing email for everybody in that room to keep up with each other and to give updates. And it was a great time. So I invite you to be here Tuesday as we wrap up 21 days of prayer and fasting. We had over 20 people involved in the YouVersion plan, going through the book of Philippians in 21 days. We're going to try something similar to that, but shorter, in a couple of weeks. The week of Valentine's Day, we've got Ben and Mary. Ben is going to be on a plan that he'll invite people to join that week. The five love languages for him. And Mary is going to be on the plan, the five love languages for her. So these will be plans that you can join, and they're a seven-day plan. So just 1 week over the course of Valentine's Day. It's not required that you're married. I would suggest that you pick the one that best fits where you are in life, him or her. So, you know, Mary doesn't want dudes in the discussion. So that's coming up. Watch for ways to sign up for that. It's not too late to sign up and plug into a small group. If you're interested in participating in a small group, just send a message on Facebook, info@newdaywi.com. We can find a fit for you. There is a small group. The easiest thing is to come on a Sunday morning, and there's a small group that meets right here in this room, and bring a bite to eat and enjoy the conversation that happens in that small group. One more thing, work days. We have a goal to open our doors, welcome the public safely and enthusiastically into this space. And there are certain milestones that we need to meet in the next couple of months in order to do that. And on Saturday, some of those things are there. We have an area where kids hang out that we thought was going to be more temporary than it actually is. We need to make it look super nice. So we'll have some like painting and decorating in what we call the wiggle room. So if that's your jam, you can participate in that next Saturday, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock. If you'd rather get a hammer and break some stuff, there's going to be some demolition that goes on, some sawing of things. There's going to be some, if you just want to stay on the ground, but and you can pick something up and move it, there's going to be some moving and some reorganizing. If you like wiring, there's going to be some setting up lights, some all kinds of opportunities. So on our Facebook page under events, that would be a great way to let Russ, who's masterminding this, know that you're going to be able to be there this Saturday, 9 to 3. So that's some of the stuff that's happening in the life of the church. And we're doing all of that so that we can be better disciples, people who actually live, not just as like cultural Christians, like, well, you know, we attend church and we listen to Christian music and, you know, we think Christian thoughts. But people who look at the example of Jesus, who hear the teaching of Jesus, and who do it in the community with the idea that God is raising people who will become disciples out in the community. We want to be healthy disciples who are making healthy disciple makers in Marathon County. 47,000 people plus are disconnected from any church. So the harvest is truly ripe. There's plenty of opportunity. So let's pray before we jump into Philippians chapter 4. God, as we think about the people who are our friends and neighbors who have heard the name Jesus and yet don't acknowledge him as King, I pray that you'd give us compassion. I pray that as we talk about some of the and hear about some of the problems, some of the issues that are faced by people in the community, that our hearts would be broken, that we would care like Jesus cared. And God, that we would do something about it like Jesus did something about it. So as we hear from your word, God, give us a sense of what you would have us do and give us the courage and the strength to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians chapter 4, this, we're talking about flipping from being worried to being content. And as I prepared for this message, I had a really hard time. There's so much in Philippians chapter 4 that is so applicable. That is actually this morning, as I was trying to figure out, how do I make a message that doesn't keep people past lunchtime? We're splitting it into two. There are going to be two messages was the solution that I feel like God was suggesting this morning. This morning we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. So if you have a Bible and want to open there, otherwise the passages are going to be in the chat. Let's jump in. So the Apostle Paul, writing to his friends in the city of Philippi, says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Okay. You know, like, this reminds me, and a couple of things that he says here remind me of that skit that that Heidi and I did years ago, but we stole it from Mad TV, where somebody goes to see a therapist and she shares all of her all the issues she's struggling with, and his solution is to say, well, stop it, just stop it. It's like, so Paul is just saying, okay, just be full of joy, okay? Would you please? Be full of joy in the Lord. And just in case you didn't catch that, he says, I say it again, rejoice. Okay, so he's being serious. But something I really appreciate about Philippians chapter 4 is he goes beyond that. Like, if you want to use that as a scripture memory verse, go ahead. The good news is then he builds and says, okay, here's what that looks like.
He says, let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So as we're being joyful, we also need to be considerate of everybody. And he says, the Lord is coming soon. So he's kind of saying, don't miss the opportunities that are out there. If you're not considerate, and if you're not rejoicing in the Lord, you might miss an opportunity and run out of time before Jesus comes back. People may not be acknowledging him as king. When he comes, though, nobody is going to be able to deny it. And either you're going to be someone who is allegiant to the king, or you're going to be someone who is in rebellion against the king. This is our opportunity to help people know the king loves you and wants good things for you. Don't miss the opportunity. This week, I was invited into a large cross-section of people from the community to look at a big community issue. Suicide for students, for high school students, has been something in our own local high school that has that's been a problem, and it devastates households, it devastates friendships. It's awful. I want to share with you just some numbers from our own community, and it's I know the numbers don't do it justice. I don't have time to like redo their whole presentation. Marathon County High School students. 3,000 of them were surveyed. 7% of Marathon County High School students have attempted suicide. 7%. Now, the percentage is lower for males. It's 4%. For females, it's 9%. 29% of Marathon County High School students have experienced significant depression for a span of 2 weeks or more. 29%. 29%. 45%, nearly half, have experienced anxiety that prevented them from accomplishing normal daily activities. In case you're hearing this and you're thinking, well, that's no surprise to me. That describes me. If you're struggling with or wrestling with something right now, I want to make sure that you're aware there is a suicide and crisis lifeline that has recently been implemented. If you dial on your phone or you can send a text message to 988, you will get assistance. You will talk to somebody trained in helping. So I want to make sure that you're aware of that if this is something that is affecting you very closely right now. So students in our community they're wrestling with high anxiety, hopelessness, fear, and we have an opportunity to have compassion, to work towards understanding, because we know it's not just high school students. High school students are part of a family. High school students grow up. It's all around our community. One of the things that makes a big difference is having someone safe to talk to. For someone who's struggling to know they can be honest with someone else, they can be vulnerable to someone else, and they're not going to be judged, they're going to be heard, and they're going to be cared for, can literally save a life. So as we consider what does it mean to be a disciple, and as we hear Paul say, let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do, remember the Lord is coming soon, part of the opportunity that we have as disciples of Jesus is to care like Jesus cares. And to be someone who's a safe person. By the way, Mark and his
Pastor Mark here, he leads a youth group on Wednesday nights, and Mark and his team care so much about those students who gather on Wednesday nights. And I know the parents thank God for them regularly. I want to talk more about some of the things they're doing in a moment. So Paul follows up his instructions, always be joyful in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice with what a disciple of Jesus will look like to others, someone who's considerate. Don't miss an opportunity to make a connection. We could be running out of time. So then Paul continues into some instructions that we've been working on applying here for the last few years. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because we've been here. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Again, if we just stop there, we could be like, okay, what a relief. Thank you. I wish I had thought of that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Now, be careful here, because if we're not being considerate, and if we're not being safe people, and if we're not listening, what we might do when someone shares a concern with us is say, you know what Jesus says? Don't worry. So just stop worrying. And that's not helpful. What Paul is talking about, he's talking to a group of people. Remember, he's not just talking to an individual and saying, that thing you're worried about, stop worrying about it. He's saying, you together, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. What this implies to me is that people are sharing what they're worried about so that they can pray. And don't worry about anything is an invitation not to just bury. What he's saying is identify the thing you're worrying about, and instead of letting it control your mind, take control of it and submit it to God in prayer. Get it out. Express something. Something I've learned along the way, I think it was from Pete Scazzaro and like emotionally healthy discipleship. And I know we've talked about this, again, I've taught about this before, so I don't want to get into details, but there are some like groups of feelings that God has given us, some categories of feelings, like mad, sad, glad, other words that rhyme with it. No, the last one is afraid, mad, sad, glad, afraid. If you want to write something now, write those things down and consider, what if I, on a daily basis, as I'm spending time with God, what if I were to reflect on what something that I was mad about this week, or yesterday, or today? What's something that I felt mad about? What's something that I felt sad about? What's something I felt glad about? What's something that I'm afraid of? What you're doing is, instead of letting those feelings take control of you, you're identifying them so that you can ask, what is it about that made me mad? God, as I reveal the root, what truth can you apply to the root of these feelings, God? And they make great conversation starters too. If you have a student in your house, you know how the conversation goes, where you say, how was your day today? Yeah, it goes nowhere. Well, what did you learn in school?
Nothing.
Yeah, you know how that goes. If we can practice having conversations that are designed to get us a little bit deeper, not only are we making more meaningful connections, we're starting patterns of safe people who ask good questions that can unearth the roots of some of the problems that could become bigger problems if they're not unearthed. Are you tracking with me? So if you, instead of saying to a coworker or someone you run into today, if instead of saying, how are you doing? Because we just know how far that's going to go. Great, fine, good. What if you said something like, man, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. What's the biggest thing that you're celebrating that's happened since I saw you last? What's the best thing that's happened to you? However you want to word that. Forces them to think for a moment, huh? You're asking them to think about what they're thankful for. You're helping them take steps of discipleship that Paul recommends when they don't even know that's what they're doing. And if someone has a hard time with that, or if they say, yeah, there's this thing that I'm really thankful for, this thing that happened, then you have an opportunity to go, wow, well, that, it sounds like there's a bigger story there. Or, wow, it sounds like there was a real difficulty that you overcame. It gives them a chance to say something that that they were worried about. I mean, you see, we can just be more thoughtful, right? That's what caring people will do. That's what considerate is. And then we become a safe person who listens, because we're not then turning around and saying something judgmental. We're just celebrating with them. If something comes up that's a concern, and I just had a conversation recently with somebody who experimented with this, and it was such a powerful testimony that someone just shared a concern, just a coworker, not even someone this person gets along with very well, particularly. And this person who's been learning more about discipleship and application of discipleship principles just said to this person, could I pray for you right now? And this other person just broke down in tears. Something beyond how are you doing went on. What if that multiplied around our community? What would that do for somebody who's struggling with anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation? What if they had someone who cared enough that they knew, if I tell this person something, they're going to pray for me? Then Paul continues into some more promises that come. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love those promises. I'd love to sit on that for a while, but we got to keep moving. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. By the way, you have access to Bibles. So if you're thinking, oh, I wish he would spend more time on it, open up your Bible and do it. It'll be good. Verses 8 and 9. He says, You guys, okay, seriously. This morning, I had, basically, my notes were a book. And this morning is when I decided this is going to be a two-part message. And I am going off my notes like crazy. So I'm going to circle back. Thank you for your grace with me, because there's something that I wrote in my notes. It's really good. I just don't want to skip it. When Paul says worry, there are some translations that say anxiety. And if we want to learn more about what did he mean there, there's this this Greek word that Paul used that we translate worry or anxiety, marimnao, which literally means pulled apart. Don't be pulled apart. Today, when we talk about anxiety, we mean a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease. You can Google it. That's where I got this. Typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. There's uncertainty, and we're afraid, and we feel pulled apart, stretched thin. For Paul and for disciples of Jesus who learn from Paul and learn from Jesus and follow their example, the outcome is already certain. King Jesus returns according to God's timing and makes all things new. So when Paul talks about, like, I don't have anxiety, he's explaining part of that. His joy is in the Lord. His hope is in Christ. That's where he gets this feeling of certainty. And then Paul talks about peace.
And in our world, peace often means like a break from war. In Paul's world, peace or shalom, it meant everything working in perfect balance. Physical bodies are healthy and well, a natural environment where everything is in sync and working beautifully as God designed it. It's relationships that are life-giving and functional. That's peace. That's shalom. And minds that are pure and focused. So he goes on as he talks about this promise of being guarded by God's peace. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. He just goes on and on with all these positive adjectives. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now remember, he's giving us like his instructions. He's building on the idea of rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful always. This is one of the specific instructions he has about what that looks like. And it's tougher than it sounds because we live in a world, in a culture, in a time where there are smart people with resources that we can't even fathom who have figured out how to get people to watch advertising so they can make more money, how to get people to engage in a conversation so that they can take advantage of us and pick our pockets. And there are two key words that they know are the perfect bait to get us on their hook. Two key words. Write this down. Moral outrage. I know I've written about this in the New Day Minute. I want to flesh it out a little bit. Moral outrage. If they can get you to say, what? That's not right. Whether you're looking at a news feed or you're listening to the radio or watching TV, what? That's not right. Then they can get you to hear and read more. And once you click on, if it's your news feed, a particular flavor of moral outrage, then the robots behind the screens learn what bait works and they feed you more of it. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, that the people with the resources and they've got the robots. And this is reality. It's not a secret. Think of how that diet of information might affect depression and anxiety, worry about what's happening in the world, hopelessness about your ability to have any influence on it. I had a good conversation with my son Preston and Pastor Mark. We drove down to Waukesha to move some furniture yesterday, and I asked them about this, and they shared some things like, you know, for high school students, social media is how people connect. To try to get around it, you're just saying, well, I'm gonna not belong. it's just how things work. One of the problems with social media, and I think Preston was talking specifically about Instagram as an example, is people are putting pictures up. And you know, not pictures of things that are going poorly. Everything is the best stuff that's happening in their life. Meanwhile, you're sitting with the reality of your own life and wrestling with your own insecurities and the problems you're trying to deal with, and it looks like everyone else is fine. It's just the nature of that media. And yet it can cause us to spiral into negative thoughts and depression. And those formats they're not appropriate to like put stuff on there that you're struggling with. It's not a safe place to do that. It's not a place to be vulnerable. So one of the things that the youth group started doing recently, again, under Pastor Mark's wisdom and leadership and care for those students,
There's a format. I know this, I'm going to get nerdy for just this a little while, and I have a hard time even keeping up with the nerdiness. There's a format called Discord, and it's a place where now our Wednesday night youth group has a Discord server, right? Okay, has a Discord server, which means the people in the youth group are invited and basically can send messages to each other in a discussion format. And there are different channels that can be set up. So if you want to discuss, I wish Mark was here. He told me about what he and Rachel have set up for their, they have a Discord server for the people they connect with online over like gaming and art. So they have different channels. You want to talk about your favorite movie? Just go here. You saw something, some cool art? Go here. Share it. You did something neat? Share it. Talk about it. Have a discussion. And in the youth group, they know each other. And they've been in a pattern of praying for each other, of sharing with each other. So now they have a safe place with other students where they can have a discussion and they can be vulnerable and be transparent and not be afraid that somebody's going to hold it up and for other people. No, they've built the trust. So some of these tools can be used in positive ways. These are some of the things that are happening in the life of this church, where we're trying to stem the tide, where we're trying to care enough to make a difference. And Paul's instructions here are so helpful in doing that. Fix your eyes on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want you to consider that the next time you open your newsfeed, turn on your TV, turn on your radio. I want you to listen for moral outrage and know that is a tool that is being used to pick your pocket. Now, we don't want to be ignorant about difficult things that are going on in the world. We also don't want to be duped and abused. So watch for it and be careful about going down that road. Verse 9, and we'll close with this. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. It's not just about learning, it's about putting into practice. Paul says, I'm teaching you and you're seeing my example. Follow the example. Now, I don't want to oversimplify everything that Paul said here and say, look, if you just be more careful about your news feed and then anything you worry about, turn it into prayer. If you just do all of that, then everything's going to be fine and you don't have any excuse. Some people do have an excuse because as hard as they try, they're going to keep bumping up against some problems, even in their own mind, that will prevent them from accomplishing their will. So I don't want to downplay that or ignore that. You might have a neurological condition that keeps you from turning healthy choices into healthy actions. You might have trauma or addiction that keeps you from turning your life around just based on your own strength and will. So if you follow Paul's instructions, and if you believe that I'm following Christ the best I can in my life, and you want to follow my example, I've seen professional counselors. Like, let's not have stigma about that. There are professionals there to help you. I've been diagnosed with a neurological disorder, and I'm taking medicine for it. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves enough to say, I've run into a wall here and I need help. I need help climbing over it. Is it because I don't trust God? No, it's because I know God works through people. And sometimes
We need to say, I know what I should do, and I'm having a hard time doing it. I need help. So, follow Paul's instructions, his example, and also know that there's no shame in needing help to climb out of depression, anxiety, to be a healthy disciple who's in a position to be compassionate in our community and to help other people become healthy disciple makers. So many times I think about problems in our community, and I think the solution has been given to us. Jesus Christ, God gave his Son so that our sins could be forgiven once for all time, so that shame could be obliterated, so that hope could be affirmed. And yet we're so distracted. The world is so broken. We are here as his ambassadors to bring healing. Not just to be part of a club. Jesus is the hope of the world, and the church is the body of Christ. That's half a message. That's half a message. You can see why I wanted to save the other half for later. I really felt like I needed to take time to not just do that portion halfway. Those verses, there's so much there. So I want to give you, I'm going to give you the gift of 4 minutes, although I want you to take more time. I mean, really, there's so much there. 4 minutes. What do you feel like God was just shouting at you this morning from this teaching, from his word about switching off from being pulled apart, worry and anxiety? Take 4 minutes, pray, listen for God. Write something down that you can then share with the people next to you, with the people at your table. Especially think in terms of finishing the sentence, I will. What are you willing to do in response to what God is teaching you today? So take 4 minutes. Thank you.
right, welcome back. I know there's some heaviness on this for a message that started with the phrase "always be joyful." This is the path, though. This is the path. So I'm glad you're on the journey together. We're going to pray together right now, and then we're going to go into a time of discussion. We're going to pray because we know that it isn't, it's not our own strength, it's not our own will, it's not our own plan that leads to a life that's characterized by joy and contentment. It's God who provides that. So let's pray. God, we thank you, and we just kind of like, I don't even know the right words. I'm imagining taking a backpack off, like a weight of responsibility that we feel like we have to carry in order to make life better. And I pray, God, that you'd teach us more and more to take that burden off and to trust you, to put our faith in Jesus Christ, who has done everything necessary in order to take care of our past, in order to secure our future. If we just rest in him. So my prayer, God, is that you'd give us the wisdom and the courage to release control and rest in you as we apply your word to our lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I hope to see some of you guys on Tuesday at our prayer gathering here, on Saturday, on our work day, on Sunday, when we do part two of this message and round out, finish off our time in Philippians together, and then transition into our next teaching series, which I am so excited about. I'm sorry we're putting it off a week in a way, and at the same time, I'm really glad that we'll be able to give next week's teaching its due. So, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon. Go in peace.